Speakers and callers, and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And before we get started too much on the show, a big shout-out to Melissa Burnett. Goes by Rock Candy. She was with me on the radio yesterday, and at 7:15 this morning, she played Black Dog by Led Zeppelin on our sister station, The River, which she's in charge of. And she knows I don't like Led Zeppelin in the morning. She just knows I don't like that. But she poked the bear. Mike, Gutsy Rocks representative, how you doing?
I am well.
Did you have anyone poke you this morning with Black Dog?
I have not had that, no.
It surprised me.
Well, everybody ignores me, so it's good that she's paying attention to you, yes.
And another area of cleanup, Al, who called in yesterday about some of the Christmas lights being out and how cheap we are with our electricity bill, there's a wire up there, and they know that. In fact, had a couple city workers giving me a call, hey, it's broke, we're not cheap. We got those things up there, so Al, we're on it for you, buddy. Thanks for looking at it, and we got some really good workers down there at the city. But we're back at the state level now. Here, Representative Prox, how you doing, sir?
I am doing well, thank you.
You've been traveling.
Been traveling. Been going back and forth to the big city of Anchorage the last couple of weeks.
How's it going there for you?
It's going good. It's good to. I don't like traveling, frankly, but it's good to get out of your shell every once in a while and see what the other folks are doing.
Last time you were here, you just got back from McGrath and, you know, Bethel.
I did.
And this time you at least went to a place with an airport that, you know, has a runway that's taken care of.
Yeah. They could make money. I was down yesterday and it snowed quite a bit in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And they should sell tickets when the snow plows are out. It's kind of fun to watch the choreography of cleaning up the Anchorage airport.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, so what's on your mind today?
Well, we're just getting ready for the session. The upcoming session starts January 17th, and so we're trying to bring everything we've been kind of working on over the summer and the fall together and get ready so that we can hit the ground running when we get down to Juneau. And that's good. I'm looking forward to a much more productive session. Really, we got to measure it by 2 years ago, because now this, I'm in the majority. We're kind of responsible for getting things done. And you got to look at, you know, what I thought the mistakes were made, communication errors and what have you. And I think we're doing a lot better job reaching out to each other and hopefully getting something done. This, and we've got, you know, a bunch of bills, I don't know, 200, something like that. And the second sessions, that's the deadline. Everything starts all over again.
Right? Yeah. What are some of the accomplishments you want to try and get done this year?
Well, what...
I know it's a big ask.
Yeah, it's a big ask. The big one that we've kind of forgotten about with the oil prices that have been up for only really the first quarter of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. But oil prices have been up, and we're kind of thinking we're going to be a little bit more flush with money. So we've forgotten about the long-range fiscal plan. That is my it should be everybody's top priority.
Mm-hmm.
Prices go up, prices go down, revenue goes up, revenue goes down. But in the long run, you got to plan for the dang long run.
Have you ever just thought about, you know, putting the price of oil on a five-year average?
I have thought about that, and that would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
We pay way too much attention to the
data
current
rate.
Short-range forecast, and everybody's looking at the price of oil. And like we will wait, we'll get the fall revenue forecast pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember just when. Well, okay, that's a data point. And then we go down there with the fall revenue forecast is a bit more long-term look. But we don't make a decision on the budget until the spring revenue forecast, which the immediate cash flow is important. But you're right. We need to look at the long-term average of things.
You know, my thought would be if I was down there, if I was you,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, okay, this is my thought, fellow legislators. Let's go with a five-year or 10-year average, whichever one it is,
right.
But also have parameters.
Yep.
If on a specific day it's like only 75% of that, you know, where it might decimate a budget,
mm-hmm.
then we readjust.
Yeah.
But we look at a five-year average,
yep.
And then if on a specific date on our, you know, like March 31st, not April 1,
right.
On March or March 15th,
right.
If it's not less than 80% of our 5-year average,
mm-hmm.
we use the 5-year average.
Right, and that is sort of the primary reform that I'm promoting, and that's going to take a constitutional amendment, is to base government spending on a trailing 5-year average, historical information,
mm-hmm.
of income to the state, and that would include the permanent fund earnings and. Well, it's the gross private state product, not including government spending in that. But as the economy moves up, as it grows, if you will, the state grows according to the trailing 5-year average. Yeah. And then when it goes down, same thing, you get a buffer.
Yeah,
but you can make that work.
Yeah, what was the Anchorage CPI last year?
I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's going to be about 3-4% this year. Last year was really big, you know, the year before last, rather.
Yep.
And this year it's going to be about, you know, 4%, back into normal areas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Versus the 7 or 8 where it was.
Right. But the CPI really isn't a very good number to pay too much attention to.
No, it's not. But it's the only one we got.
It's the only thing we have. Yeah, correct. But it has to be based on your income, your projected mm-hmm. income, whatever the CPI is. You know, I've had to readjust my personal spending.
The reason why I bring that up is, you know, Fairbanks, we finished our budget last night, and we can raise, you know, our taxes up by the CPI index out of Anchorage.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking at that as mayor and saying, okay, that's one thing, but what are we going to raise our expenses by?
Yeah.
And we only raised our expenses by 2.2%.
Yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if the city's expenses, well, fuel has this mm-hmm. past year has gone up more than the CPI.
Oh, yeah.
And
but overall, we're, you know, of all of our budget,
yep.
this 2.2% increase in growth of cost.
Yeah.
You can thank me now.
I will thank you, yes. my hat's off to you. You've done good work. Does it work?
Yeah.
You know, is the next thing.
Yeah.
Because there is a point beyond which, if you cut too far, you're damaging the ability to provide the service. So you should either get in or get out. And
and we expanded services, actually. We expanded services, but we cut some other things out that were not needed.
Mm-hmm.
But we just kept the eye on the ball. Just kept the eye on the ball and say, you know, you only have so many dollars.
Yep.
And how can you make them work the best?
Yep.
And that's where, you know, I work with a group of 6,
mm-hmm.
and you work with a group of 60.
Yes.
God, I pity you.
Yeah.
I think the world of you, but I pity you.
it is challenging, and we go down there for 4 months, but you at least meet with people every week.
Yeah.
And so you can it's easier to maintain communications. But
a relationship.
The relationships.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have to work on the relationships and all that. So, you know, there's challenges, and you just got to figure them out.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. If you have a question for Representative Mike Prox, District 33, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
One of the most glorious messes in the world is the mess created in the living room on Christmas Day. Don't clean it up too quickly. Alaska Petroleum, your trusted home heating distributor, wishes you a season filled with friends, family, and laughter.
Frontier Glass wants to wish you goodwill and the best wishes for a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. Frontier Glass hopes that peace, love, and prosperity follow you and your family into the new year. Happy holidays from Frontier Glass.
Hello, Alaskans. It's your representative, Mary Peltola, with season's greetings and good tidings for all. This year proved that when Alaskans work together, big things get done. In D.C., NOAA is reviewing bycatch for the first time in over 10 years, and Alaska's congressional delegation introduced a bill to ban poached seafood imports from Russian trawlers. Back on land, Alaska's delegation secured the Willow Oil Project and more than $200 million to strengthen our rail belt energy grid, creating Alaskan jobs and lowering costs. And remember, Alaska's congressional offices can also help you and your family directly, whether you need help with Social Security or veterans benefits, getting a passport, or just dealing with a federal agency. For help, contact my office at 907-921-6575 or visit peltola.house.gov. Happy holidays. I'll keep working to bring big things home for Alaska in 2024. This message is paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Samson Hardware here, spreading holiday cheer your way. Get ready for the 10 days of Christmas specials at Samson Hardware on 1990 Phillips Field Road. Swing by every day for a chance to unwrap daily prizes from hand tools to housewares. There's something for everyone. And that's not all. On the 10th day, someone will jingle all the way home with a $120 Samson Hardware gift card. Tis the season for winning, so join us at Samson Hardware and make your Christmas merry and bright.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast skies today with snow likely. Highs around 4 above. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 0. Cloudy. Snow likely tomorrow. High of 2 above. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through tomorrow. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Michael Prox in the studio with me here. I've been impressed with you over the last few years. Fairbanks, I was giving him a big head over the over the break here. This how he's come into the role and what he's done and how he can go out and get a what you might call a quorum of people looking at something and wanting to fix it.
Yeah.
You do that very well.
Well, thank you. And that is what I'm trying to do. And you can't fix everything at once, but try and find areas we can get to yes. One thing I'm hopeful that we can get to yes on is this, House Bill 115. I'm the sponsor of it this year. It's been in the works off and on for the last 10, 15 years to allow naturopathic doctors to practice to the level of their training. And any change, you have to convince people that it's a good idea, but we put a lot of work into it, and we had a really good hearing, I guess that was a couple of weeks ago, in the Labor Commerce Committee, and I think we have answered a lot of the objections, and hopefully we've got enough people convinced that, well, we can give this a try, and hopefully we can get that through. Yeah, that's one of my priorities that I think is the most achievable.
That's because you are the chairman of what?
House and Social Services, yes.
Right. Health and Social Services.
Health and Social Services, yes. That's an interesting challenge as well.
Don't you have the biggest part of the budget?
I think education might be a little bit ahead, but they're both right up there. Yep. Oh,
yeah. Governor vetoed a lot of education.
Last year, he vetoed part of the increase, the one-time increase.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get to 21, 11, and 1 to get something through.
Have you had discussions with the governor or his staff in regards to where he's looking at with the education budget this year?
I have not. No, not yet. They kind of play their cards close to their vest, and that budget will come out on the 15th. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to publish his budget, and then we'll get an idea where he's going.
Yeah, he's going to call in here on the 20th and go over his budget.
Oh, good. Good.
For a half hour.
Uh-huh. I'll have to tune in.
There you go.
Difficult one. There's challenges for keeping the education system going. I toured around some of the schools, charter school, brick and mortar schools, the Burroughs New, they call it BEST.
Yeah.
Can't remember what that's called. Yeah. Correspondence program. So they are making some changes. The Borough School District is adjusting, which is good, and we need to do more of that. Going forward, we're going to have to find a more cost-efficient, I guess is the right word, way to provide the education service, because our children have to be educated. Somebody has got to do it. I like that it's becoming more decentralized. We have the charter schools operating in the Fairbanks area. I think there are 5, mm-hmm. I believe.
Charter schools in the Fairbanks area have been rated as the, I had the education commissioner on.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, didn't mean to cough, but scratchy throat all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fairbanks charter schools are tops in the nation.
They really are doing a good job, and they're all a little bit different, which is interesting and which is good. It is the choice that is good. Two things. One, they don't have to spend as much money on the building, the building that houses the charter school. Two, they're generally smaller, easier to manage. And three, they require parental participation.
Focus. That's right.
Yes. And that's what I think the third element is really what makes the difference, is that parents choose to send their kids there and they have to follow up.
I find it interesting. I had Melissa Burnett on here yesterday. We talked a little bit about the school board that she's mm-hmm. on and how they give out these big raises to the teachers union.
Mm-hmm.
That literally said, we're going to go on strike during your count week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, you're not going to have any students to get your money unless you give us. They basically extorted them, it sounded like.
Yeah, and how counterproductive can that be to. They need more money. Well, what do they need to do to get more money? They have to have more students. Strike during the counting period that determines how much money you're going to get. That's a real good strategy.
Yeah.
That's silly. Yeah. But that's how silly, when we divide into groups, us against them mindset.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thought process that floats to the top.
And here they were given a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are running the school board now made, their choice, and the choice was to give out these incredible raises, these good mm-hmm. raises, not mm-hmm. incredible, these mm-hmm. good raises. With you're going to have to shut schools later on.
And
then you're going to have to shut schools.
Yes. We've got to completely rethink the way we think about providing that service and get out of this us against them, my way or the highway mindset. And that kind of goes both ways. When it was the nice thing about going to the schools, I'm not talking to the union at that time, I'm talking to teacher union members. And when you talk to individual members, you come away with a different point of view. And that was encouraging. That I needed to do that.
Well, how did, were you there when the school board members met with the legislators and the legislators walked out on
that, that was not a very good conversation, yes. Well, and there you go. There's a collection, you know, an amalgamation of, and it comes down to just one thing, money. Well, there's more to it than money. There's the biggest thing, the teachers, you have to have a certain amount of money. They, mm-hmm. you get into that profession, you're mission driven, but you do have to have enough financial support so you're not worried about, not overly worried, I should say. You always have to worry about the future, but that's important. And then the other part of that is to just look at all of the little things, the burdens, the extra burdens that we have put on the schools. Mm-hmm. And that gives them one more thing to do, and it distracts them from their mission of teaching.
Education, yeah.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of different ways to do it. None of them are 100% correct. None of them are 100% wrong. There's a whole 14,000 students, individual students, and you can't meet everybody's need exactly, but you don't have to find the lowest common denominator either. And if we take away some of those restrictions,
you hit it right there with education.
Mm-hmm.
They try and bring everyone down to the lowest common denominator in education. It's very sad.
I won't say they're trying, but that's the result.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there will be differences. I was at a regional debate. What do you do when you debate? Contest. Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And there were a diversity of skills. Some were amazingly accomplished, and some, this was their first try, and they were nervous and all the things that you mm-hmm. do when you're
first time out nervous.
First time out, yeah. And, you know, somebody won. We had to pick who did the best. But the reality was everybody won. The one, if you will, that thought they did the worst, they at least got out there and gave it a go. And maybe the award should be on who got the most out of the experience rather than who won the debate. That wasn't the criteria. But anyway, point was, is yeah, some people are...
I bet you believe in this, giving out participation trophies.
Participation trophies.
Oh, my God.
Well, to a degree. To a degree.
Everything
yes.
I said good about you, I'm taking it.
No, I was, I was on the North Pole St. Bernard's basketball team back in 8th grade, and we didn't win a game all season long, but I really looked forward to playing against Monroe, and it was Maine Junior High at the time,
mm-hmm.
because the game got completely out of hand. There was no chance we would win after the first quarter.
So then you got to play.
Then I got to play. If there was any chance of winning, I sat on the sidelines.
Yeah, I played basketball for Monroe my freshman and sophomore year, and the first year I was part of the 32-second club. You know, when you're up by 25 points with 32 seconds left, I was put in.
Yeah, there you go.
My sophomore year, I was part of the 2-minute club.
Right.
You know, you're up by 32 points with 2 minutes left, I got put in. This is only on a JV team.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And after that, I said, you know, this basketball's not my thing.
No, I'm more into chess, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, there is, yeah, the competition drives the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. We want it. It is what makes us improve. But we don't want to feel bad just because we came in second.
You know, I was hearing too many stories where a teacher cannot remove a child, no matter how disruptive the child is, and it brings down the entire class in learning schedule.
Yep. Yeah, and that's very true. I did that for a while too. In the classes I was teaching, we had, I think there was 24 students total. And 22 of them were easy to deal with. The 23rd I had to spend a lot of time on, and when the 23rd and the 24th got together, I spent all my time on those two, and the other 22 just pretty much got ignored. So it was a private school, so we had the luxury of being able to say, I don't think you're cut out for this environment, and that really improved it.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're going to have a little bit of bumper music, some Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in Washington as lawmakers consider a massive aid package, which includes tens of billions of dollars for the war-torn country. Republicans, though, are insisting on strict U.S.-Mexico border policy changes in exchange for any spending package.
Zelensky wrapped up his meeting with House Speaker Mike Johnson, who made clear he's not budging on keeping the two tied together. And Republicans in the Senate that also met with Zelensky feel the same way.
Fox's Hillary Vaughn, survivors of sexual assault testifying before a Senate Homeland Security subcommittee alleging the Coast Guard Academy failed to properly investigate their claims.
After I reluctantly reported my assaults, I was simply asked by my company commander, is this worth investigating?
Caitlin Murrow, former Academy member, America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that Alaska's senators introduced a Congressional Review Act that would overturn new proposed regulations on aviation gas. According to Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, the Environmental Protection Agency released findings that would require the federal agency to regulate leaded aviation gas, or AVGAS, under the Clean Air Act. In October, the EPA determined that leaded emissions from aircraft engines cause or contribute to air pollution, which may reasonably be anticipated to endanger public health and welfare under the Clean Air Act. The EPA and FAA seek to move toward an unleaded future by 2030 and identify at least one unleaded fuel for small piston engine aircraft. The EPA claims the aircraft are on average 45 years old and may pose risk to nearby communities, including those with environmental justice concerns. Small engine planes make up the majority of aircraft that service bush communities.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
May your holidays be filled with joy and happiness, and not filled with a full septic tank. This message from your friends at North Star Honey Wagon, wishing you and your family many happy flushes this holiday season.
It's the holiday season, and that means lots of driving for shopping, festivities, and spending time with friends and family. Usabelli Coal Mine reminds you that patient drivers are safe drivers. The men and women of Usabelli Coal Mine wish you a joyful and safe holiday celebration.
Abby was released from prison after serving time for a minor crime. She was dropped in a parking lot near a soup kitchen in Anchorage, and instantly she was homeless. Without food, phone, or money, she made it to Fairbanks, only to find her family network was no longer in place. Rather than couch surf, risking victimization by men who prey on homeless women trapped by the cold, she made the decision to spend the winter in a tent. By February, worn down by the intolerable cold and moisture in the tiny space, she contracted pneumonia. Burning with fever, Abby made it to the rescue mission. She met a young woman there who told her about the love of Jesus, then showed that love by spending the night at the ER as Abby's condition stabilized. Abby returned to the mission and her life was saved. Without you, there is no mission, and Abby's story ends in the tiny dark tent. Please donate today at FairbanksRescueMission.org. That's FairbanksRescueMission.org.
When it's cold outside, the Alaskan solution to cold weather is fur. Wrap yourself and the ones you love in naturally warm, naturally beautiful fur from the Fur Factory. Perfect for gift giving. You'll see coats, mukluks, mittens, and hats for work and play, as well as Alaskan gloves and beaded slippers by local artisans. The Fur Factory's fourth generation family of furriers still craft heirloom quality furs you will treasure for a lifetime. Visit the Fur Factory, 547 2nd Avenue in Fairbanks.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Mike Prox in the studio with me, District 33. When do you head down to Juneau?
I'm probably going to go down there the 15th. We start on the 17th, and it takes a couple of days to get everything set up.
Got housing yet?
I do. We've got the, I'm going to be cynical. The frat house.
Quarters?
Yes, right. That's an option. I was dead set against it. I'm thinking about it because it is convenient. And then the other option that worked good for me was the Baranoff. It's just I'm used to living in a pipeline camp. So a small room is all I need. And it was within walking distance. So either one will work. I'll figure out something. Yep.
Whenever I'm down there, I stay in the Baranoff. It's just so easy and convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And, that used to be the location. They closed down when COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't gotten back up to all the cylinders running yet.
Really? How yeah. so?
Well, it just takes a while. People go out. We found different places to meet during that time,
yeah.
and they just need to do something to
bring you back.
Bring you back. Yep. Mm-hmm. And well, they got their challenges too.
So you're in the House majority for the first time,
right?
Mm-hmm. Who's your speaker?
Speaker's Representative Tilton, Kathy Tilton.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She does a good job. That's a tough job, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's herding cats.
Yes. With egos.
With big egos. Yes. Everybody down there has an ego, including myself, that is way too big.
We barely got the head in the room.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And, of course, we bring into a purple padded room.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, calming.
I did not know. My goodness. So you're down there on the session opens on the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And how big is your majority? We got 23,
yes.
That's without having some of the problem childs that you always had to bring in, David Eastman. He's not with you.
He's not part of it, no.
He's on an island by himself.
Yep, that's unfortunate, but that's the reality, yep.
Yeah, working with him was always like playing with a scorpion. You just know you're going to get stung.
He, marches to the tune of his own drummer or something like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I don't want to rag on David too much because he puts a lot of time into it. And he's trying to do what he thinks is right. I'll give him that. And it's too bad. Yeah. It'd be great if we could overcome that. I don't know.
It's too late.
Yeah.
You're not going to.
Yeah.
How many times has he been kicked out of the coalitions?
Oh, goodness.
Every time?
In the 4 years that I've been down there, that would be 4 years. I don't know what happened before that.
Bring him in, you kick him out. You bring him in, you kick him out.
Yeah, that it really is too bad. That
I remember.
But it takes I can't do as much as I want to. I can't be as radical as I want to be, because then you end up in that situation where nobody talks to you. They just walk away.
You'll get nothing done.
Yep, right. And it's a reality that we have to face and work within that and talk to people.
I've always thought there's three types of legislatures. One who's going to go down there and think they're going to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're put on the shelf.
Yep.
Two, the person who's going to go down there and do nothing.
Right.
They know they're going to do nothing. Hey, I'm here to get reelected.
Yep.
And then there's a third person who realizes, I'm going to go down here and get along as well as I can with as many people as I can so I can at least get something done.
Get something done. And especially when you're in the majority.
Yeah.
You have to think about, you have to get to yes. That's the big deal. And if I have an idea and you don't agree with me, it can't be just no.
Yeah.
It's no because I think this would be better. Oh, then we can continue the conversation.
That, yeah.
And that's part of the process. You have to do that. Yep. We've all got to work on that.
You don't seem happy about that.
Well, if everyone would just do as I say, it'd work out right. I know it would.
Okay. Boy. Looking at your session here, what's the current with a PFD?
It... Well, it'll depend on the amount of money that's available. Mm-hmm. And then can we think of things that we can, you know, we have to cut spending somewhere else in order to get the PFD. And, of course, those like me that think the PFD should be the highest priority think, well, that's easy for you to do. But we then have to come up with the conversations to how can we make the departments work better, not do things that they shouldn't be doing, and we got
to. How would you explain it to people who don't think that? How would you explain it to people? You're on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity,
right,
to explain to people the concept. Okay, I'm going to give you a full PFD,
mm-hmm,
but this is how I'm going to balance a budget.
Yeah, therein the problem lies, because
you can't do it, can you?
Today. No, we can't.
Yeah.
No, everybody just thinks about what they want. And the health and social services, well, whatever I'm doing is the most important thing. Well, all right, where are we going to cut the money in order to do what you want to do? Well, you don't get an answer to that. You get crickets. You get the same from the city of Fairbanks, frankly, and the city of North Pole and the city of the borough. One of the things I've been harping on as I talk to groups is we need to get together in the interior, and the three municipalities and the school board have got to get together and recognize that problem, that we can't have, you can't have everything you want unless you're willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the biggest priority, and how can we discuss some alternatives?
In your talking and outreach, and mm-hmm, you do that very well, what would you say our biggest priorities in the interior are?
Well,
and it's, everyone's going to have a different priority,
yes,
but don't
right.
worry about that. Don't,
yes,
what,
yes.
What would you believe that would be should be our biggest priorities?
Yeah. Well, you know, frankly, I think education, education.
We're not good with the. It's good in reality, but not. It's good in theory, but not good in reality.
Yeah, right. But you have to be able to plow the roads so you can get school buses, so you can get the. So it's all interrelated. I think, and I'm changing my viewpoint on this a little bit. I think there are some opportunities to address some of the, what do they call it, social. Well, the buzzword and social emotional learning. We need that. That is part of education. And if you don't emphasize that in the schools, then you get behavior problems and all kinds of other problems. And then that's dealt with in the Department of Health and Social Services.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to think about moving some of that social service responsibility, maybe not the responsibility, but the location, to the schools, because parents know where the school is. If your child's in school, you know where that building is. And if you're having problems, you don't know where health and social services is. So if you could at least go somewhere to get a starting point and be more helpful to the parents, I think that would help.
As a teacher,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to go back here. As a teacher, if you had to call a parent,
right,
two parents,
mm-hmm,
a couple,
mm-hmm,
who would you call first, the dad or the mom?
Well, I would call the dad first. That's
why,
me.
Why?
Well, prejudice, I suppose. I think more like a guy.
if it's disciplined, you're calling the dad.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
If it's safety or if it's, you know, sickness, you're calling the mom.
Well, correct. Yes.
So it depends what the issue is.
It depends. Yes. And one, and you know, I'm
you complaining. Sexist.
Yes. Person. Right. I'm
God
one of those.
Almighty.
Yeah. But we have diminished. Overall, we have diminished the importance of the
parents.
Father in the
yeah.
home.
Yeah.
Both parents.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've got to get back to that. And now, okay, so that means dad's got to step up if he's got that responsibility. It's a balance, yeah.
You know, when I was in school, I did not like the parent-teacher conferences.
right?
Those were not good days for me. Those were just not good days for me. My parents would come home and Dana, you know, you could do a little bit better. Danny, you're such a jewel as a kid. Donnell, everyone loves you.
Yeah.
David, get over here.
Yep.
And the yelling would start.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there's the Davids come along every once in a while. You got to deal with it.
Yeah. Get over here.
Yeah.
With that, Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You want to talk with Representative Proxwell at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Just as the three wise men gave Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh when he was born, Gold Buyers of Alaska hope you are gifted love, joy, and health this Christmas season and in the upcoming year. Merry Christmas from Gold Buyers of Alaska. This holiday season, transform your home with festive cheer from Samson's Hardware. Need a hand with your holiday project? Their expert staff is here to help. Looking for someone hard to shop for? Samson's Hardware is where you'll find it. Make your home merry and bright with Samson's Hardware.
It's a fact. Cold weather kills car batteries. Make sure your battery is strong enough to withstand another winter. Have it tested for free at Batteries Plus. Need a replacement? We have plenty of options available from the industry's top brands. Plus, free battery installation in most vehicle makes and models, or upgrade to Premier installation for added protection. You'll also find jump starters, windshield wiper blades, and other winter auto essentials at your nearest location or online at batteriesplus.com.
The American Red Cross of Alaska serves the entire state of Alaska, and you can count on them to be there to help you in times of need. The American Red Cross of Alaska is committed to providing relief to victims of disasters and helping people prevent, prepare for, and respond to emergencies. For more details, go to redcross.org. The Fairbanks office of the American Red Cross of Alaska is located at 3501 South Lathrop Street. This message brought to you by the radio station, located downtown at 529 Fifth Avenue.
The Fairbanks Clinic has been here for you since 1932, the year Amelia Earhart completed the first female nonstop solo flight across the Atlantic, the year BBC aired their first television broadcast. That was over 90 years ago, and they're still here, still taking care of you and your family. That's the Fairbanks Clinic in their beautiful building at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. Call and schedule your appointment today with their family care practice. That's the Fairbanks Clinic, here for you since 1932.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 4 above. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 0. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely again tomorrow. High of 2 above. Cloudy skies. 4 to 8 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Representative Mike Prox in the studio with me here. Now, I'm going to tell you about first grade with me. Mm-hmm. I was over at ICS.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my devil days and my angel days. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very astute when you're the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Because on Friday was your day of whether you were going to heaven or the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd bring in the fifth grade nun. Mm-hmm. She'd give the swats to, mm-hmm. to the boys.
Yep.
And I learned real fast, you know, my devil days were Monday and Tuesday. Then Wednesday, Thursday, and by Friday lunch, I was an angel.
Yeah,
that way, you know, you do your bad early and you're an angel after that. You're not getting the swats.
Yep.
How's that for first grade learning?
Well, that's good.
Higher education.
You remember those sort of things.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Sister Justella. That was, I think, fourth grade. And, yep, when there was discipline to be meted out, she was good at that. And the other one was Mrs. Hansen from the second grade. And
ooh.
She was the opposite way. But, you still – and, you know, that would be the cool part about being a teacher is that people – done right, people remember you for good or bad.
Yeah.
60 years later.
But the thing about it is with me is I never would say I had a teacher that I was that I thought was bad or did not like me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did not enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did not like school, but I, you know, I got along with the teachers, and yes. I'm sure I was a handful because I was a bored student, and I didn't want to be there.
Yep.
And but I had really, really, really good teachers, and I still remember them all.
Yeah, and that is important, and that's why I'm just really thankful that they invited me to tour this last week, is that I had kind of forgotten about that. It was just this concept school, or not even school, education system. And I'm looking at that and kind of got a confrontational approach. But you get out there, and it's just hard to be cynical when you're around a bunch of kids.
It is. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's, it just it puts a very good perspective in front of you.
Yep. Yep. And there's there's a lot of good going on that we got to get involved with. Yep.
So with being the chair of Health and Social Services, what do you do?
Well,
what are you in charge of?
The biggest thing is to prioritize the bills coming through the committee. There's some I like, some I don't like, but I tried to, well, we committed as a majority to at least hear everybody's bill. I can't remember the number, but I think there's on the order of 20 bills in the Health and Social Services Committee. And then there are some that are really important. We got to get this done. House Bill 80, sponsored by Representative Josephson, and that deals with following up if a person is found to be incompetent to stand trial. The system puts them back out on the street. And certainly that isn't fair to the victim, but a lady that I ran into down in Anchorage, or in Juneau, she was the lady that got stabbed at the Lusac Library a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, she had, I was just floored. She recognized and honestly recognized that not only did it not do her any good, because she's not a victim of a crime. How about that? And not that she wanted to be a victim of a crime, but you get some sort of help when you're a victim of a crime. But she also recognized that the person that stabbed her had been hauled into court twice before that and let out because he wasn't competent to stand trial. And that didn't do him any good either. And she recognized that the person that assaulted her needs help. And we don't have a very good way of addressing that problem currently. We need to change the law a little bit and got to figure out how to do this. And it so far it's going to cost a lot of money, unfortunately. But we've got to figure that out, because that is public safety is the highest priority of government. That even really comes before education, because mm-hmm. education could be provided voluntarily,
mm-hmm.
but public safety, the government is there to stop somebody from doing something awful, and that has to be our biggest priority. So that, like I said, that bill is actually sponsored by a minority member, Representative Josephson, but we got to get something done there. So you got to make those decisions as the chairman. It's not your committee in the possessive sense, and I dictate what's going on, but try and make that committee the most effective that it can be. Get things done that can be done and stop things that shouldn't be done.
How many people are in your committee?
Seven. Yeah, seven. Two minority members and five in the majority. And we got to talk to each other. That bill in particular. Representative Josephson isn't on the committee, but it's his bill, and we got to work.
What other bills are you looking at?
Let's see, licensure compact bills.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of win-win there. the biggest one is the nurse licensure compact, and that is that the state would join a compact now with 39 other states to more or less establish a national standard for the practice of nursing. And then if you get a license in a state that is part of the compact, that license is transferable to wherever else you want to go. And that won't completely solve the nursing shortage problem that we're experiencing, but that will be a big help just to expedite the licensing process. And with many of the other professions, the same way, that there's too many bureaucratic hoops to jump through. And I can say that because the lady that's in charge of licensing agrees with me, and she would just love to have less to do. So hopefully we can get some of those through. Yeah.
What the heck? What's going to be important for the interior, not education, but just for the interior?
Well, that's a little bit more difficult. Honestly, I think, and I'm kind of North Pole centric here, as far as the thing that could do the most good for North Pole is probably the request from the North Pole Chamber of Commerce for their welcome center.
Building,
yeah. And
now hold.
I'm willing to accept some other points of view. Yes, right. But you ask me, and
How many buildings are out there or are owned by a Chamber of Commerce?
In North Pole?
No, in Alaska.
Oh, well, yes. Good point.
And how many of them have been funded by a government check?
That would be none, as far as I know. Yes.
So think about what you're asking.
I know exactly what I'm saying there.
But, you know, you're in the legislature. It's your money.
Well, it is. And I'm thinking North Pole. You kind of caught me off guard there on that question. But the other thing they've got, well, in North Pole, it's got, not North Pole, but it's the North Pole Chief of Police is the head of or something involved with the Chief of Police Association. And they're wanting the Chief of Police, not just North Pole, they're wanting a training center for firearms qualifications and all of that sort of stuff. And that is a whole bunch of money, and the government does. And part of the reason, they have a very nice facility in Anchorage or Birchwood or somewhere down there, and they want a facility. That has got some justification. But we're looking, hopefully, we've talked to Fort Wainwright, and Fort Wainwright has the facilities. It's a scheduling problem. Hopefully we can work that out. Now, that is a priority. I get it. But I think there's an alternative there that I would like to try first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't recall even what the city of Fairbanks wanted off the top of my head.
Peace on earth and goodwill towards men.
Peace on earth. Well, that'd be good.
Actually, the number one was the Crisis Now Center.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That needs some thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital would be happy. The hospital is looking for some money, not for the crisis center, mm-hmm. but they're part of it, the higher level of care. I am taking that serious, the whole crisis now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, hopefully we can find some existing building that works. And I think there's some possibilities there.
Well, Representative Prox, I appreciate you being able to come in and share your insight and stories and wisdom mm-hmm. with us. I really appreciate it, really do. And I really appreciate when you host for me when I'm gone, too. Fairbanks, that is our show for today. I'll have Nick Nugent tomorrow, and it's a little bit of history. And you have a great day.
All right. Thank you much.